Fun one for me specifically today. As you can see from the title, my brother Zach Kluver joins the show. He spent 2 years inside the Iowa football program, not a name that you will know from a lot of playing time. One of those guys, nonetheless, that made their way into the program, took a lot to get him there. He put in a lot of effort, a lot of energy, and these stories are interesting to some as well. Longer one. Hope you enjoy. Let's have a day. Let's go. Another episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons. Today is the nepotism episode. Do you know what that word means?
No.
Oh, shit. So as you know from clicking on the title, Zach Kluver is the guest today, and he has the same last name as I do. And so if you don't like listening to me, well, then you might want to skip this episode, because it's going to be a lot of me and a lot of Zach, who is my brother. I have two brothers, as I've talked about on the show before, and tried to get both of them into the University of Iowa football program. Tried to weasel our way in, could only get one.
Man.
Yeah. So. It was partially Coach White too, but here we are. We got Kevin with us as well. I don't know if he's in his office right now or not. Oh, there he is. He's just leaning back. Hey, Kev.
What's up?
And your hair looks good tonight.
Thanks, man. That's what happens when you just don't wash it for a couple days, I guess.
Oh, no, you're rocking that natural shine.
It's just got the natural grease going on right now.
There's something to that, I think.
Yeah. Well. Maybe we'll just stop showering then.
Well, I was going to say, how, you know, back in the day, like, how often did they really wash their hair, right?
I guess never, right?
Right. I mean, they took baths in the river, but.
But no soap.
No. As you can see.
I've showered. I've just, you know, just haven't used shampoo in the last couple of days. Sure. So
that stands up pretty good.
Right. Just, yeah, does that.
Two things that you guys both have in common is great hair. As you can see, my brother was blessed with a fucking head of hair that is it's almost like we're not even related, which is,
how's that make you feel?
It's truly bullshit. Zach, hi, by the way, you can say words.
Yeah, I actually wash my hair like twice a week, so if you want good hair, do that, because
I think I'm past
doing
that.
Well, over here. Well, yeah, you are, but Kevin, twice a week.
All right. I used to do like every other day. I remember back in our playing days, well, you know, you'd shower every day, right?
And multiple times.
Yeah.
Multiple times a day. And I remember I'd wash my hair like every single time I took a shower. Really? Using that, like, basically what was hand soap in the yeah, locker room there. So that probably didn't help the health of my scalp and therefore hair and hairline. But we're going to try and fight it back now.
It's whatever. Red light therapy, I heard, is good for hair regrowth. Was looking at a red light today. Did not realize how expensive they are. So probably going to have to embezzle some more money to.
What do implants go for these days?
I can't imagine that's very, very cheap as well. I just don't care that much. Like, the bald look is good. As long as
you looks good on you for sure.
The nepotism episode, Zach. Nepotism. Zach's not a big word guy. I'm not going to say Zach's dumb, but I'm not going to say Zach is. I don't know if we were the most academically.
I am no genius.
Impressive. Nepotism is like the word that it gets thrown around with Brian Ferentz. Like, he has a job, or he only keeps his job, or there's rules that don't apply to him because his dad, because somebody he is related to, is in a position of power.
Mm.
Right.
Right.
So the joke for then this episode would be, because I have a decent amount of decisional making power for this podcast, that the only reason you're on is because you're my brother. But you're actually a relevant guest because you spent almost two full years in the program. and it took a while to get there. The reason that Zach is on, you know, Zach is not somebody that anybody listening to, other than when I've talked about him on this show, Zach probably is not somebody that any of you have heard about. He never played. He didn't get brought in on scholarship. In fact, we had to sort of, as I alluded to at the beginning, we had to weasel our way in a little bit just to get a shot. And I think that this episode and Zach's story particularly, especially after a lot of you gave great feedback on the Ryan Boyle episode, who, again, Boyle obviously a little bit more well-known coming out of high school, but similar-ish story at Iowa, like really didn't provide any significant playing time and career did not pan out like he would have liked when he stepped into the University of Iowa. There was a lot of feedback that said, hey, can we get more guys on that have stories like that where, you know, guys just gave their time and effort and, you know, we never really got to hear about them, but they have interesting stories all the same. So I think Zach applies to that, and we're going to get into that. Zach, you went to Centennial High School, Ankeny Centennial. That is not the same high school that I went to. Why?
No, it isn't.
Why did you end up in Ankeny?
Well, I guess we'd have to take it back to your senior year, which would have been, what, 2013 in high school?
Yeah, 2012, 2013. You are 5 grades younger than me. So if I was a 12th grader, you were in 8th grade.
Yeah, so basically when you're – graduation or your class left, it was kind of dropped a bit, right? I think we can agree
it's kind of ass.
And there are also some coaches that we both know, I won't name them, but had a lot of power, who controlled both the basketball and football program at that time. I believe Dad got out in 2014.
The year after I left, I think, or maybe not. Maybe he coached Austin for a year. We have a brother that was directly in between us grade wise. So my senior year, 12th grade, Austin was in 10th grade. You were in 8th grade. And yeah, that was that after our class graduated, the great coach Holdeman, Dave Holdeman, retired as the head football coach, which left a wide gap at the top of the leadership of the football program in Marshalltown. And I think Holdeman kind of knew that the talent pool was exiting as well. It was a great time for him to. Yeah.
He got out at the perfect time. So,
yeah. So that was, anyways, that was part of the reason.
Yeah. So anyways, you know, Dad gave about 30 years to Marshalltown football and basketball, and obviously he's back into basketball now, but the way he left and the way he was kind of treated after giving 30 years of his life to this whole city, I don't know, I just rubbed me the wrong way. You know, I love my friends there. I had, you know, the best. I was just thinking about this. I remember watching Trent Trowbridge hit like a game winner from half court when I was 7 years old. And
yeah.
All I could ever think about when I was fifth, sixth, seventh grade was playing in the Roundhouse, man. Like that was a dream for me. Sick, like watching Creekmer and Barnes. I remember it was just amazing. And then, dad's situation happened. And I'd been playing Kingdom Hoops basketball in Ankeny.
Yeah, this is
the AU.
Yeah, this is the other big part of it.
So I knew a couple Ankeny kids already.
You had probably just as many friends in Ankeny by that point, or at least down in the Des Moines area, than you did in Marshalltown.
Correct. Yeah, correct. And you know, they had just been a new program. I think they were created in 2012, 13, new high school. So
I think we played them for 1 year, our senior year.
Yeah, it was 2 or 3 years new, and I almost went to Indianola actually, because of
really
Eric. Yeah, it was
wasn't quite
or Ankeny.
You weren't quite good enough to get recruited by Dowling, huh? The Catholic schools didn't come after you, like Kevin's Catholic. You know, Providence Catholic wouldn't have come calling, but you were.
No, that would have only happened if Dad would have coached or something.
Yeah,
but
yeah. It's a rare breed that goes through those Catholic schools, man.
Oh, I know.
Shout out to Bob Huggins, by the way.
I know, because we
You don't get that, Kev?
No, that one went way over my head.
Okay, well, he got in. Just search Bob Huggins on Twitter real quick while Zach keeps talking, and you'll see what I just mentioned.
All right.
Well, yeah, going back to the Catholics, they they weren't good to me. I lost both final semifinal games in the dome to Dowling. So,
yeah, you did.
They're not good.
Well, you ran into the tail end of what Ryan Boyle talked about, which was like a 7-year run by Dowling.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, eighth grade year, as you go into high school.
Yeah.
You did your entire high school at Centennial.
Yeah, because they were 8-9 middle school, 9 or 10 through 12 high school.
Oh, so you did do freshman year at Marshalltown.
Yep.
Okay. So then,
but technically it wasn't high school at Ankeny.
Right. Yeah. So I always thought this was weird because me and Austin were just like, we just had this normal, like Marshalltown all the way through. And I thought it was just like, so weird. Like, oh, wow. Zach's going to transfer and go not just like to West Marshall or East Marshall, you know, like a lot of kids will transfer whatever, like throughout some point in their K through 12. But then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, I'm going down to Ankeny. I'm going to be a Jaguar. I was like, damn, that's kind of weird, but okay, cool. And you just went and lived with grandma for the summer.
Yeah. I lived with G-Nick for the summer. And listen, it was certainly a bigger jump than I probably made it look, because I was shitting my pants for sure. Like scared shitless, but it ended up being great decision. So just like, you know, making new friends and, you know, am I going to play? Like, you know, going for touchdown to Ankeny, it's, you know, there's higher competition and there's always going to be more guys. And so, yeah, I was just worried the move would work out, you know, and not look like a dumbass moving from Marshalltown. Luckily we beat them both times. So
You didn't want to like go play Marshalltown and like be the 11th guy off the bench and look like a dummy.
Well, yeah, obviously
that would have been ass. But you had a general idea, like you kind of knew who was at Ankeny and what the pecking order was. I mean, you knew you were going to play.
I knew I was going to play. But
and at this point, what was? I don't even know if we've. I mean, there's going to be a lot of things that kind of probably come up in this conversation that like we've never delved into specifically. But like, you made the move. I mean, you didn't make the move from Marshalltown to Tankeny Centennial to be, you know, for academics, right? Like this was an athletic thing. Me, you, and Austin played basketball, football, baseball, soccer growing up. And then we all kind of just played football and basketball. Once we got to high school, but like we were, you know, like sports was our life. And so this was like a sports move. And so you're making this move. I almost feel like you should have had one of these fucking these high school transfer announcements on Twitter. It's a good thing those things weren't a thing back then. Like, I've decided to spend my last 3 years at high school at Ankeny Centennial. I'm going to be a Jaguar.
No, some guys have done it. I've seen a few, at least.
Marshalltown kid did it.
I know. I think that
Omaha did it like 3 times. He played at like 4 different high schools in his 4. But what his made a little bit more sense because he was like the best player in the country. But at this point, like you're 15 years old, like where did you want to go, or where did you think you were going, like athletically? Like what was the goal?
Yeah, the goal. It's a good question. Because growing up, because I went the football route, you know, mainly because it was just Iowa, right?
Yeah, and we'll get there.
But growing up, my love yeah. was basketball, man. I just loved basketball, and I still do love basketball. You know, I could have seen myself, if I didn't go play football, I could have easily seen myself going play, you know, D3, you know, maybe NAI Grandview. I could have gone there probably and sat for a few years and maybe played later in my career. I could have went D3 and competed. So yeah, I love basketball, but certainly did not think Iowa football like was at all. My future.
I'm setting the table yeah. here for like how we end up with you in the program, because it's part of the kind of a wild sort of grindy story to get there. Kevin, feel free to interject mm-hmm. in this conversation if you want, or
you know. I'll interject when I feel the need okay. to interject.
I don't want you to feel like this is a sibling thing and you're like, oh, I'm going to fuck something up. I want you to feel valued here, Kevin. I'll send you a care package. For to make you feel more valued as a member of this company.
Thank you.
So playing football in college at this point, 15, 16, sophomore year high school, Zach Kluver, football is like, it's not even close to on you're playing football and you're practicing hard and you're pretty decent. I mean, you were an outside linebacker. We'll get to that in a second as you get into junior, senior year. You're athletic, you're over 6 feet tall, you're strong, you're pretty fast compared to, you know, relative to other high school football players, even for being at Centennial, which is a bigger, better school in the metro. But like in your mind, and you can talk about it, I don't know how long that lasted all the way in my mind, it lasted all the way to like through senior year, like into senior year basketball season for you. Like you're like, I think if I'm going to go do something at the next level, it's going to be basketball. Football is not even on the radar.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, sophomore year, I wasn't sure. on varsity. So, you know, I was snapping sophomores, but, you know, there was a snapper in varsity. I was a junior. And I you know, snapping wise, I just really started to practice, you know, like I didn't have any. I never went to any camps. You know, I literally was self-taught. I'm like, dude, you got to – sorry, I just got a call. That's not me. What was the question? I don't even
– You said you remember like you were self-taught and you remember coming into my room and being like, you got to help me out.
Yeah, basically you got to help me out because I don't know what I'm doing and –
You had never snapped a football before sophomore year of high school.
Not really going at it. Like really trying to perfect form, technique, and all that speed,
and like actually be quality to like do it in the game.
Right.
And was dad the impetus for that? Like, was that a you know like dad walks by your room like he always did and be like, hey, you should probably go get some snaps in.
Oh man. Yeah, as I grew older and in high school he would be on me more, but you know, as I prepared for we'll get into it. As I prepared my first year of college and I wasn't on the team, I was still at DMAC that first year, but yeah, he caught me a lot, let's just say that, in that first year.
So so football is not even on the radar. Long snapping was, which is what you end up doing at Iowa for 2 years at like a good enough level to play D1 if you would have been given a shot. You haven't done basically at all. You've messed around with it and now you're sophomore, you're snapping for the sophomore team, but it's like, you know, it's sophomore football in Iowa. It's like, get some guy to go be able to do it and run down. Mm-hmm. All right, we're on defense now. So then after sophomore year, now you're going to play varsity the following year, which is 16-17, and you're also a linebacker, and we can go kind of quicker through this, but did you snap it all that year? And then you got some reps at outside linebacker that year as well, right?
Yeah. The outside linebacker actually got hurt.
Yeah.
Late in the season. Yeah. So yeah, I had to play throughout the playoffs a little off and on. He tried to come back, but off and on, I was in there. And then my junior year, we actually had Tanner Morgan, who committed to Oklahoma State for snapping. my junior year, so I was kind of out on that one.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, he was a lefty snapper, real good dude. But I don't know what happened to him, actually. He had a really good freshman season down in Oklahoma State, had a fumble recovery.
Dang.
And then, yeah, he, I think it was like 2-3 years in, but he came back to the bank and he got skinny. But
that happens. Yeah, yeah, that happens. And then,
yeah, I had no shot at snapping my junior year.
And then your senior year is 17-18. We're still not, you know, this is my senior year of college. So we're going through our senior years at the same time. And even though I've now, you know, I'm going into my fourth year as a starter at Iowa, and you at this point, you did go to a couple camps, I think, just to like learn a little bit more from the Coles kicking stuff. And you were like, yeah, I can do it. Like, I'm definitely better at it, probably better than your average high school long snapper. You go into your senior year of football. And again, like, I still think at this point in your mind, you are like, all right, basketball season is going to come up after this in the winter, and I'm going to try and like really ball out there and then maybe go D3. Like, that's still your mindset as far as, because now you're thinking about college, right? You're not super far ahead thinking, which is great. You just kind of take life as it is. But at this point, you probably had given some thought to college or what's after high school, right?
Yeah, certainly. The first time I ever thought about snapping at Iowa was really when I think you contacted me senior year, and we had just played
Southeast in the middle of the season.
Coach Bell. Yeah, and Coach Bell was there to recruit Moss and Trey Winters, who was a walk-on back in my class.
Yep, so this is where things kick off. It's the fall of 2017.
Yeah, so we play outside of the Polk, and he goes back to and like says maybe a comp. I don't know what he said. I remember you saying he said maybe you can snap for us.
So,
and I think started it.
So, and I had never thought about this either, right? Like, I was never, first of all, we had a lot on our plate. I'm in my senior year of college. I'm at this point, hopefully going to try and make an NFL team, you know, last semester of school, yada, yada, yada. My number one goal was not how can I get my brother on the team next year, especially when I wasn't even going to be there anymore. Right. Probably wasn't even in my top 10 goals. I wasn't thinking about it at all. I didn't have that kind of power.
Hey, it's Peter Harmon, the food guru, here to talk about Gray's Gourmet To Go. At Gray's Gourmet To Go, we are madly and passionately in love with three things: chicken lips, pizza, and great food to go. Chicken lips are the most beloved food in Iowa City. And if you don't know what a chicken lip is, you're really missing out. Our second passion is pizza. We're hell-bent on making great pizza. Yeah, you can get cheap pizza anywhere. But if you're a real pizza aficionado, you gotta try our meatball pizza. It's made with a natural starter. And like sourdough bread, it's soft and crispy and light as air. And the third thing that we're wildly and passionately in love with is great food to go. We believe you want to feed your family something great at home, but you're too busy with life to stop and cook. That's why we built Gray's Gourmet To Go. So the next time you need to feed the gang and you don't feel like cooking, just come to graysgourmettogo.com.
But I did know that at this point you were good enough naturally. I don't know what it is, but there is something, I think, in our blood that makes us good at long snapping, just naturally, because you were pretty good without putting tons of work into it. And I've mentioned before how you and Riley Moss were boys in high school, same grade. And so KB, Coach Kelvin Bell, goes to a game and is watching Riley. But, you know, as college coaches are, they're pretty observant. They kind of know what's going on. They're pretty aware of anybody who has any sort of talent. And, you know, Friday Night Lights, I don't know who we played that Saturday. It might even been the bye week. No, it wouldn't have been the bye week, because I think I probably would have came back and watched you. But whatever, we come back into the building on Sunday for our shakeout. And KB is, you know, we're just literally passing by each other. And he goes, "Saw your brother play at Southeast Polk this weekend." I was like, "Oh, yeah?" I was like, "Why were you there?" And then I realized quickly, like, oh, shit, you're watching Riley, right? He's like, yeah, I was watching Moss. I was, you know, your brother sent back some good ones. He's a decent snapper. And I think KB was just making conversation. I think he was just being nice at the time. And at the, and I was like, you know, me being your brother, I was like, fuck it. Let's shoot one into the stars here and see what happens. So I was like, yeah, he's pretty good. He could probably play at the D1 level, I think. And I might've even said something like, you know, he's getting looks from a few other places. I was like, I think I probably said something like, we should have him walk on here, cause I think he could easily step in and play. And
you know, it's funny. Sorry for interrupting, but it's funny you say we had other options, cause UNLV actually,
well, eventually. Jump. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
but keep going.
I talk you up as good as I can. And I don't think I was lying necessarily, but I was trying to fluff it as much as I could. And KB took it very seriously and was like, that's not a bad idea. I'll mention something to coach, have him put together some tape and send it over to us just so we have something on him. And I immediately fucking text you, because now in my mind, you know, my career is going to be over in, at this point, 2 months. But in my mind, I see flash before my eyes, like, holy shit, Zach could somehow weasel his way into the program after never even thinking about this and get to experience everything I just did and potentially, like, have his name on the back of the jersey, have this crazy experience, go to all these cool places off of just, like, a quick little conversation that, like, because he was down there recruiting Riley. So I'm like,
immediately.
I'm like, yo, you need to like put together all your snaps from huddle onto a tape. I think I was like, cause the season wasn't over at that point. I'm like, the last few games here, you need to like get tackles, like go down and like make plays and get this tape together and send it to me. And then I will get it to Coach Bell and Coach Wallace. For them to look at, and Coach Woods. You do that, and it's like a go. You know, we could go into the small details of this podcast and probably go for 2 hours, but essentially what happens is they're like, yeah, he's not bad. Like, I think he's definitely good enough to, I don't know all the details or remember them all, but they're essentially like, yeah, he's I think he's worth something, like at least staying in contact. And so now, in the midst of this, you're now about to go into your, you know, your season's ending. Like you said, Dowling ends up, I think, winning it all. You guys make a decent little run. You play a lot at linebacker and long snapper your freshman year or your senior year. But now in literally one weekend or just a 24-hour period, your life goes from, hey, we're going to play football out here. We're going to go play some basketball, have fun, maybe go D3 to, you completely switch your mindset and switch your course of action to, I am now, everything in my life is now, how can I get into the Iowa football facility and be part of the team? Do you remember that?
Yep. It was, I can't even describe the feeling of like having that opportunity, like just unbelievable. And yeah, I mean, yeah, when you have an opportunity like that, you gotta attack.
Literally changed. And at this point, we go from, you know, I text mom, I text dad every once in a while. They check in on me, whatever. Text you, for, you know, occasionally too. Now every day in like late October, November, December of 2017, like we're having conversations of like, what do we have to do to get Zach here? Like what? Because for those listening, it sounds easy, right? Like, oh, I'm in the program. I'm a direct connect. Zach can just use me as a proxy to get to Coach Bell or to get to whoever. But like there's certain times where these guys can't talk to recruits, which Zach is now technically a recruit. All of a sudden he's up, you know, he's on their whiteboard in the office as like a potential walk-on. Throughout this whole thing, the theme is he's a conversation that happened with KB. They didn't seek you out, right? There was no scholarship. This was going to be a walk-on opportunity. It's like, hey, yeah, we'll give you a key card. You can get in the building. But after that, it's like, yeah, you kind of got to do your thing. And I just remember, like, now it's like every day dad is texting me like, hey, you got to get on Zach. He's got to be out there every day getting snaps in. He's got to be ready when he gets his opportunity. You know, dad, like he's now freaking out because he can have a second kid in the program. And so you start doing it. Like you're snapping. I think you snap like in the gym sometimes. You would snap when the snow wasn't on the ground. Like if there was a weekend where it melted and then, you know, you're out in the wet grass in 42 degrees in November, December. And you're just like trying to get as many snaps in as you can. Cause at this point, ideally, you would come in that following fall, in the fall of 18. But the path does not end up that easy.
A few academic requirements.
Yeah, right. So like at this point, you have to now register for Iowa because it wasn't even on your radar. Yeah. I don't think you registered or even thought about where you were gonna end up, but Iowa was not on the list. So now you're like also having to like, you know, you're trying to get as good of grades as possible, like striving, not that you weren't already, but I mean, you probably put a little extra effort in because now it's like, fuck, I have to get accepted to Iowa to like make this happen. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. So eventually what ended up happening was my ACT wasn't good enough by like two points. And
I don't know if I would have got in on the criteria formula that they used by the time you came around to getting in college, because I didn't have to go through any of this shit. But when you came out, mom tried to describe this to me at the time. There was some like score that was a combo of like your class rank and your ACT and your GPA and whatever that formula was. By the time we figured out that we were going to try and get you into Iowa, yours wasn't good enough.
Yeah, no, there were no numbers that I could achieve to make that formula successful.
And it's not like you were a bad student, right? Like you were probably an AB student in high school.
Yeah, I got like a 3.2 GPA. Now, this is also where the move to Mark Ankeny kind of hurt me, because it also took that formula also accounted class rank. Now get this. I have a 3.2 GPA,
which isn't great, by the way.
And my
I mean, your boy got three. I got 3.4 in high school, and I didn't try for shit. But also, like you said, you were going to Ankeny. I think Ankeny's classes and curriculum might have been a step up from Marshalltown's. And
right, it was. And so I ended up ranking. We had 380 students probably, and I probably was 290 out of 380. So. Right, and so my class ranking percentage wasn't good enough, and so. It led to the only alternative option, which was DMAC in the fall of
2020. Well, and this was so now we get here is you finally enter college fall of 2018. The ideal, and here's where it gets shitty too, because when you are on the very fringe, and I'm sorry that I'm talking a lot during this podcast, but Zach probably doesn't remember all this, and I'm the one who wrote down the entire chronological order of how he went through this. But I just wanted to make sure we get the entire picture of like the craziness that some kids potentially can go through to get into a college program and even have a shot to play. So now you basically have the go ahead. I don't know at what time you officially got the okay from LeVar or Coach Wallace or whoever in your, you know, I think it was the spring or late spring of that senior year in 2018, where it was like, hey, you know, we would love to have you as a walk-on, but you have to get accepted into Iowa first, which by the way, I think they make some concessions for some guys and they do some workarounds for some people in that. But you were not one of those people that they were like really cared to go above and beyond with. So, you know, now you're talking to, I think, was it mostly with Coach Woods?
Yeah. So at the time, I believe there were three long snappers.
Yes.
Spiewak, was it Vovota?
Yes.
And because they had just transferred him over to a snapper, and then it was Jackson Super.
Right. So in 2018, which is the fall that you would have liked to get in right away after your high school came to an end, this was Subert's first year after I was gone. And then Spiewak was behind him. And then Vovoda had switched from tight end to third string long snapper.
Yeah. And so I went to, got through DMAC in the fall of 18.
Well, but first, DMAC is in Ankeny, but yep. You couldn't go as a full-time student either. Do you remember that?
Correct. Correct. So
because at this time we're like, hey, we're going to milk this and get as many years of eligibility as we can because we want you to have the best shot to play. So when you went to DMAC in the fall of 18, I think you took like 9 hours because if you start as the semester that you start as a full-time student, for those listening, is when your athletic eligibility clock starts. Okay. So if Zach would have gone full-time to DMAC to start like really getting ahead on his credits, his athletic eligibility would have started and he wouldn't have even been on the team yet. And who knows when he was going to get on the team at this point, hopefully the following year, but he would have wasted a whole year. So he goes like part-time and you go to DMAC and that's 2018, 2019. And then in 2019 spring, you started Iowa, right?
Yep.
Still not in the program.
No.
But
got into Peterson Hall that my second semester of freshman year.
Must be nice.
And I was next door roommates to Doyle and Benson and right across the hall from Moss and I think it was Kyle Sorensen, a guy who left, a lineman who left. But yeah, I was right there in the mix there with all the guys in spring of 2019. Oh, really? Just not on the team.
You moved in right next to all the guys, but you just weren't on the roster yet.
Right.
Because at this point, especially for a walk-on who's just trying to like just claw his way into the program, again, they're not like super worried about you. No one's really like back and forth with you on a daily basis or even a weekly basis with communication of like, hey, when can I come into the program? When do I get my card to let me into the building? Like all this stuff. So you do what you're supposed to do. You get accepted, you enroll, you're in classes spring of 2019, but you're still not on the roster.
Now this is where a little confusion comes in because I don't fully remember what happened. But at some point between spring of 19 and fall of 19, I thought I was going to be able to join the team maybe in the summer.
We all did.
Of 19.
Yeah, we all did.
But I was told that they didn't have a spot and that I would have to wait till the spring of
20. Yeah.
And so I was, and at that point, I think it was spring of 19. And at that point, I had to make a decision of like, all right, this is March of 19. Am I going to wait 9 more months to play college football? And yeah, I decided to wait 9 more months.
Yeah, there is confusion here because I don't think I have an answer for this. I'm obviously out of the program at this point. I'm almost a year into being moved out here to Waukee. I'm not in the building anymore, so I can't connect with the coaches. You're not in the building yet, so you literally have like text message conversations with LeVar going, and you've now, again, starting in the fall of 18 or the fall of 17, put your entire life into a new direction to try and go make this happen because they said that, like, hey, we want you to come in as a walk-on and you'll have a chance to be the guy. And now part of that was on you because you had to go to DMAC. And then you get forgotten a little bit or pushed to the back, and then you finally make it in spring, and hey, it should be good. Like, hey, I'm enrolled at the school. We're going to head into the 19 season. And I don't understand that we don't have a roster spot because let me tell you,
I must have been real low, boys. I must have been real low.
Jesus, man, there's some guys who make it in there. And Kev, I don't know if there's an actual roster limit, like with the walk-ons?
No, because I remember there's some schools out there that literally have like 150 guys on their roster.
Or they'll bring them in. They'll use them for practice. I don't think with walk-ons, there is a total roster limit.
No. Yeah. I mean, Iowa, I think we always kept it around 115, below 130.
We certainly at some point had in the 120s, I remember for sure, as low as like 112 or 114. It would fluctuate throughout the year, right? But
guys leaving,
guys coming in, you know, you'd get a new guy at all kinds of times during the year. And so this was the part in Zach's journey where, you know, our family and me, we're kind of confused. Because we've been told, like, hey, you're going to get a shot at being the guy. You've been in conversations now for over a year at this point, like, hey, and maybe felt slightly disrespected because of, you know, I had a lot of power in the program, but I just gave 4 years, left on good terms, you know, wasn't.
Yeah, I always felt like it might have been Coach Woods, you know, just really saying, you know, we got three guys this year.
And it might have been,
you know, if he's going to wait. Because, you know, they don't really have a, you know, they do care for you, but at the end of the day, if they have to make a decision, they don't care if I have to wait.
No, they don't give a shit. You know? And in their eyes, like, they don't need you at all at this point. And, you know, it could also have been their way of like, do we really need four snappers? Like, how about we just like, let's not worry about him. If he really wants to do this, he will wait and he'll come in next spring. And then that'll show that he wants to be there. But like, damn, I think we were kind of like confused / disrespected / like, what the hell's going on here? So you go through that summer, which I believe, by the way, is the summer that you and I go and snap to McAfee and Hawk on that one random night. And I think it was around this time too, where UNLV calls. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Because,
well, this is where it becomes even crazier because we're, you know, family friends with the owner of Coles Gate.
Right. Right. And Jamie knows at this point that you've put in the work. You've gone to a couple camps with him. He knows that you're Division I quality and he knows of, you know, probably dad had updated him on the fact that, yeah, they're still not bringing Zach in this fall in 2019. For reference, at that time, Subert is going into his senior year. He's been the guy for 18. He's now going to snap in 19 as a senior. Spiewak is basically in line to take over the year after that for 1 year. And then I believe in 19 is the year that Liam Reardon came in as well. So they have this. Did he come in 19 or 20?
Buddy came in 20.
All right.
Sorry, Liam. Buddy's his
they
name.
Called him. Yeah, they called him Buddy. I swear maybe he was, or did he not come in? Yeah, it's still just Vovota on the roster. So Vovota and Jackson are gonna graduate, and then it's just gonna be Spiewak. And here is where,
yep,
in my opinion, and you know, things happen for a reason, yada yada, but here is where I think you mostly get fucked. And this isn't like a damn it, Zach should have gotten a chance and been able to be the guy, because the Hawks are in a great position now with Luke Elkin and whatever. But at this time, the two guys that you end up battling with once you finally do get into the program, they are not coming for a whole nother year at this point. They are not going to be there until the fall of 2020. And if you are just somehow they give you the access to the building and the team, and you start up and are doing activities and, you know, become part of the culture and the team in 2019, regardless of you being the fourth guy, you now have a whole year of experience as two seniors leave. And it would at that point be Spiewak and then you. You would have been clear second string going into 2020, and you would have gotten the jump that you deserved at that point for spending all that time waiting to get into the program. Nonetheless, you don't. 2019 happens. They have a great year, whatever. Jackson snaps. Jackson and Vovota graduate. There's now one guy on the roster. It's Austin Spiewak. He's going into his fifth year. He's going to snap for 1 year. And it now happens to be the spring of 2020. And Zach Kluver gets a fucking card, man. Hey.
Yes, sir.
The card lets him in the building for once. And I don't know how it finally happened. I think you were in contact with Broad.
Well, if you remember.
Broderick?
Oh, yeah. Broad, yeah.
That's, you know, at some point we staying, it feels like you were going to fall out of touch and like it was finally going to, you know, so like they're just going to forget about you and you're just going to like finish your academic career at Iowa and never have a chance here. But, you know, they set you up, you get a locker, you get a card, you're part of the team. Finally, 2020. Here we go.
Yeah. But before that, if you remember, we took that visit in the fall of 19. Remember me and you?
Yes. Yes. So,
I was one of my only game days.
Yes. So finally, you know, they actually start acting like you're a recruit at this point, a year and a half into the process. And the fall of 19, the year you should have been on the roster, they at least invite you over from Peterson on a Saturday to actually be on the Saturday recruit list, get a name tag, you know, go through the game day visit in the complex and eat the meal and, you know, go out on the field before pregame and then walk up and sit in the recruit section above the tunnel, yada, yada. And at that point, it finally felt like, okay, I'm in the rotation now. Like I'm part of the class that is being recruited.
Yeah.
Even though you're in your third semester of college already at that point. Correct. But you know, you finally get in and it's 2020. And what was it like on your end to like really finally like walk in the building and like,
I remember it might not have been the first day, but it was either the first or second day. And I came in, with four other guys. It was Phelps, the punter, Gavin Williams, Mason Richmond, and Elijah Yelverton, who's actually at Colorado. I just saw, which is crazy to me, but.
Man, Dion got Yelverton, huh?
Yeah, Dion got Yelverton.
Wow.
And I remember we all walked down from the locker room to the weight room. And, you know, it probably was Broad, but Broad opens up. You know, this is orientation day kind of. So there's guys lifting in the morning and we're, you know, getting paperwork straight. I don't know if it's paperwork, but getting all our stuff straight. Where's the laundry? Where's everything at? And we walk in and Broad opens these two black doors, right? And God, boom, Coach Ferentz and Coach Doyle just smack dab in the middle. I mean, I felt like both of them just made eye contact with me. And I was just like, oh my God. Like firm. I was just focused on a firm handshake and an eye contact. That's it. I don't even know what I said. It was
first day. And you walk into the weight room and it's those two and they stare at you five like, oh, here's the freshman.
Yeah, like, what are you guys doing? So, yeah, it was definitely.
And your head is just spinning.
Yeah, I can't even process, you know, I can't even process where my locker was at, or it was crazy.
Well, because at this point, it's the, you know, it's January, whatever, 20th of 2020. And you have been on this journey at this point for just over 2 years. You've been on a path to like be a part of this program, and it took you 2 years and 2 months from the day that KB initiated that conversation. So it was like a huge relief, and I'm sure if you asked mom or dad, they would be like, "Yeah, at that time they were feeling finally good. Like, okay, he's in the." I'm sure you got a text from mom like, "Hey, how was the day? Like, did you get your locker? Are you at, you know, all that?" Because they. For them, I think that was just a win at that point, getting you inside the doors and like, hey, we fucking did it. Like he's got
100%.
Yeah.
A little backstory and before I entered too, me and my boys, so the semester got done during the fall of 19 and we went and played basketball. And so this was probably, you know, a month out, probably December 20th of 2019. And we go to play pickup basketball and I try to pick this. We made a bucket and I ran back and I try to run up and pick a guy up and absolutely blew my knee. Like, I never told that. I've actually never told plenty of people this, but blew my right knee and it was just I don't know what, I never even like looked at it the rest of my life. To this day, I've not, I was so nervous that I wasn't going to be able to like show off like spring. I wasn't going to be able to lift or run or anything. I was just like, screw it, man. Like I'm fine.
You fuck.
But, yeah.
Did you, do mom and dad even know that?
Yeah, I told them, but it, over the course of 2 years, it didn't really bother me.
Yeah, I mean, so. Fortunately, as a long snapper, you're not out there having to do a ton of cutting. Fuck, yeah, you saw your funny. You saw your whole thing flash before your eyes, huh?
Oh yeah, it was. I mean, it, imagine what a ACL tear feels like. It felt like it. Like I'm talking on the hardwood, pulling myself away from my, like you know, like slapping the floor, like bad pain.
Fuck. So you probably did tear something. That's why your knee still hurts when you squat.
Probably is.
Yeah, you probably need to go have it looked at. But you got in the building.
Yeah, that's
what... You go through. Yep. Now you're brand new, so you didn't experience it like most guys did. Because even freshmen that would have been there in 2019 have done a whole semester of intro lifting at this point. But you go through 2020, the first 8 weeks before spring break. And those first 8 weeks of lifting are notoriously like the hardest lifting of the year for, I would say, probably the majority of college football strength conditioning programs, but definitely Iowa's. And so you got thrown in the fire there. Like that was, you were going hard.
Yeah, it was certainly a tough 8 weeks from what I had done before. I remember... I don't know if it was the first week, but we get out on the field for a warm up, right? And it's, you know, we got the normal cones and ladders and everything, and we're out there for 45 minutes, and I'm sweating my ass off, dude. Like looking around, like this is unbelievable. This is a warm up, and like unbelievable. And we get to the weight room, and I think we're done. I thought we were done for the day. And coach goes, all right, get your lifting shoes on. And I said, lifting shoes? Like I thought I was gonna.
You were toasted
from the first day.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It was
yeah.
Bad.
Trust me.
But I mean, yeah, as you grow and you adjust, and you know, the warm up doesn't feel as worse as it does.
It happens fast. Drake talks about that a lot. How if you took most normal humans, like the average human, probably 90 to 95% of most humans, and you threw them out there for the speed warm up. Right, which lasts anywhere from 35 to 45 minutes. They are not making it through it.
No, they're puking.
There's just no chance. And that was...
If you're going at the pace that we
that you're supposed to go at, right? The intensity that they're trying to run those drills at.
Right.
And so you go through these 8 weeks, you probably finally feel like, you know, you're making... You've already made some friends because you're, you know, you were with them in Peterson. You know Riley Moss, you know a few other guys. So you feel acclimated. You feel like you know what you're doing now after 8 weeks. You know where your locker's at. You know the flow of how early you got to be to a lift, meetings, all this stuff. You're snapping probably with the guys, right? You guys probably got two or three sessions a week in as spring ball was approaching. And then all of a sudden, the fucking world shuts down.
Yeah, so we had just gotten maybe one or two skills and drills in. And I remember getting a text through, I don't even know what the app was, but basically just said meeting. I think it might have been a Wednesday morning after workout or a Tuesday morning after workout, but, or not Wednesday because we didn't work out, but it was probably a Tuesday morning. And we just got a text that we had a team meeting at, I don't know what it was, probably 8:30 in the morning, the next morning. And yeah, man, told us to get the hell out of there and go home. So it was a little bit of a, you know, I'd just gotten acclimated and, you know, I'd just gotten in and I'd just got done with a lifting, like an 8 week lifting session. I felt the best I'd ever felt, eating well, gaining weight, everything. And then, it just shuts down and it kind of resets. Yeah.
Speaking of eating well, what's your favorite meat to eat well with, Clue?
Well, you know, there's a lot of options, right, Kev?
There is a lot of protein options out there these days.
But
you got seafood. You got beef.
Beef.
You got chicken.
Yeah.
Turkey. All the forms of poultry. You can go lamb.
You could. Bison, elk.
Yeah. All those game meats.
But to be quite honest, you can't get much more variation, quality, nutrients than you can from pork. You know, Washington County pork specifically.
The best bang for your buck you're going to get buying protein is in the pork aisle.
And that's no bullshit. I still haven't, dude, I'm still rocking. For those watching, I still have two of my pork vouchers.
Yeah.
Dude, we've been going off, you know, and we don't eat, you know, we probably eat pork once a week or twice a week, but I'm still living off the bacon, two pork loins, and pork chops that I bought like a month ago.
You go to Hy-Vee, whatever grocery store you attend to, you go get a 10-pound pork loin for about $20, and that's what you and your family eat for the week.
For a year. Shout out to Washington County pork producers. Kevin with the nice little segue.
Yeah, how about it?
There at an hour into this podcast, it's going to go way too long. Your niece, Kidley, is going to wonder where her dad's at. But we have to complete this story. And this is probably the way it was going to go anyway. So thank you, Kev, for that. And letting the people know about the Washington County pork producers.
Those pork sticks were good, by the way.
Yeah. And Zach ate the pork sticks that they sent us.
Big fan of those pork sticks.
Yeah. So yeah, I remember this. You're eating well, you're gaining weight. At this point, I didn't want to be too pushy or touchy. You know, I'm still in contact with Coach Woods at this point, and I get an update on you every once in a while, but the world shuts down. They literally told you guys to go home. How long did you go home for? A couple weeks?
I believe we returned. No, way more.
You had spring break, right? Spring break was right when it hit, so you had that week off anyway.
Yeah, we were gone, you know, March 10th, and we didn't return.
Till summer?
Until June. Well, that leads us into something. We came back to a meeting.
Yeah.
On June 8th or 9th, I believe, or 7th.
That's what you guys basically came back to.
No, it was the first meeting we ever had. First interaction I had gotten back to from COVID.
Holy shit. What a fucking whirlwind. Shudak was on the show, and he talked about how during that downtime, if you lived in Iowa City with a house, they like tried to bring racks over and create like little mini weight room situations. And gave you guys lift cards. And so you were just doing that back in Ankeny. You were hanging out in Ankeny during those 2 months, basically.
Yep. Just lifting, running, snapping.
They finally give you
It was tough to get onto a field, actually.
Yeah, it was.
We actually had trouble even getting onto the Centennial field. So.
And at this,
I created two swipe spots from snapping in our backyard in Ankeny, just like you did in Marshtown. So
yeah. You feel good, you look good, food's good, strength is good, snapping is good, and Subert and Favoda are gone, right? You at this point, it's you and Spiewak, right? So we've gotten you to the point where it's like, this is where we wished you were 10 months ago as you head into that summer. But then, like you just mentioned, and we don't have to talk a ton about it, but you know, the whole Doyle race discrimination thing happens. And that's literally the first meeting you guys have.
Yeah. So actually we had a lot of Zoom meetings during COVID.
Yeah, you did.
And Buddy, so third snapper, Liam Reardon, who's still on the roster. Absolutely love that kid. He joined the spring of 20 as well, but wasn't in person. So he joined a Zoom call the first time we ever met him, just in COVID.
That's crazy.
Yeah. We had a bunch of Zoom calls and had been getting updates with coaches. They sent us back with a sheet to do the workouts with. And our first meeting back was, you know, I don't know when that all it went down, but yeah, I walked into a room it was in the All American room. We couldn't be in the normal meeting room because of COVID, and it was all spread out.
So you're all spaced out.
Yeah, so about everyone in the whole program is in the All-American room for that meeting.
Except for Coach Doyle.
Except for Coach Doyle.
Because that meeting was about Coach Doyle and the Twitter explosion that had happened over that weekend. And I think you called me after that meeting. You did. I think you called me after that meeting. You were like, dude, I just sat through a meeting that you guys never even came close to experiencing. It was the wildest shit I've ever been a part of in my life.
Yeah. So I mean, I won't go into detail and give names, but obviously, well, Dylan Doyle obviously was dealing with this new information and it was still on the team. And he started the meeting off, which, I mean, everyone was teary eyed after his speech, like unreal. I mean, he said, like, he couldn't even see Chris, like, fuck Chris Doyle on Kinnick Stadium. Like, he can't be here and all. I mean, just a ton of shit. Like, he was going through it, you know. And, like, Seth Benson runs up, like, bawling his eyes out. Like, biggest bear hug ever, both bawling their eyes. Like just a silent room. And then everyone gets up. Like, people are teary-eyed. Coaches are teary-eyed. Like, it's – and that starts the meeting, right?
And this meeting was what, like, 90 minutes long?
Maybe more.
Dude,
maybe more.
Unreal.
And from there, it was the most transparent, like, honest, sad, like, all the emotions. I can't even explain what I felt because I was in such shock of what was happening.
Yeah, because like, at this point, you had been with these guys for 8 weeks. You went off back home to Ankeny, and now you're sitting in this meeting like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. Yeah, like, one guy, I remember one guy, he's like, I'm fucking out of here. He said, fuck this shit. And coach got up and was like, sit your ass back down. Like, we don't fucking handle this situation like this. Like, just people going off on everyone, like side conversations with.
I remember the way you described it when you first called me. You're like, dude, there was players crying. There was coaches crying, players yelling at players yelling at coaches yelling at coaches yelling at players. It was fucking crazy.
It was nuts.
I mean, yeah. That's insane, man.
Yeah, like, coach.
You should have stood up and been like, guys, I've only been here 8 weeks, you know?
Yeah, dude, I looked at, I honestly, because Nick Phelps was, he was continuing to be like one of my best guys. And I looked at him and he's like, dude, I don't know. Bro. I don't know if we're going to be in this program for the next 3 months. Yeah, just absolutely nuts. Like, Coach Brian gets up and just bawling his eyes out. Like, it was unbelievable.
So that happens. And, you know, basically after that, it was, you know, Coach Doyle gets, he leaves, forced out, let go, whatever. Ray takes over the program. On the inside, you guys are basically like, okay, it's head forward. We need to figure out how to work around COVID and make the season happen. And the season gets canceled, but then gets brought back. You guys play 8 games. Spiewak is the snapper. It's you, Spiewak, and buddy on the roster, Liam. And at that point, you're like, okay, I'm finally, like, I'm on the team while games are happening in the middle of a season. Practices are happening. And at this point, was it, like, where did you feel like you were at snapping wise? Like, I think you were, I think you were third on the depth chart behind Liam.
Yeah.
Which was also like,
so,
you know, they had to go with somebody, right? You basically had been there the same amount of time and he was the guy that they actually went out and found for the class. You were just kind of this guy that came in and knew me, right?
Yeah. So I want to say our first football activities were, it might have been just skills and drills in the summer. And we would work. It really wasn't – the roles weren't – like, Spiewak was the true one, but me and Buddy would switch twos all the time up until what would be camp of – camp of 2020, before fall of 2020, because we started to prepare for the season again.
Yeah. And once you get into the season, they put him at two. You're at three, Spiewak snapping, and it's like, all right, well, you know, one more obstacle, got to battle this out, because you know, as far as what you're looking ahead now, you finally, your academic clock has started at this point in that 19 season. So this is technically your second year of eligibility in 2020. Second year of what would eventually be six if you wanted it, right? So you could have technically played 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. You could have played all the way through not even this season, but next 2024 season if you would have stayed on the team. It would have been absurd.
Yeah, I would have been 25 or 6 in my last season. It
would have, just would have been stupid.
But to give some context on that fall 2020 season, we were actually – I'm not even sure if I'm supposed to say this, but it doesn't matter. COVID's gone anyways. we were golfing. We had a golf outing with Coach Woods.
Nice.
And this was right before camp started, fall of 2020. And we're on probably the fifth hole in Solon, Iowa, and Keith gets a call from Cammy and says, hey, you tested positive. This is right before camp starts.
Yeah, I remember this.
And then Blom and Shudak both get a call that said, you tested positive. I go into fall 2020 camp as the number one long snapper.
I remember this. And this was a weird spot because somehow – all the way back to March 13th or whatever day the world shut down. Now all of these protocols go into place that basically last through the spring of 2021, I think. Maybe even all the way down into the season of 21. And through all of that time, you were one of, this is an insane stat, out of 115 or 20 guys on the team, you were one of like six or eight guys who never tested positive or even had to miss a day because you were like whatever they called you. You were exposed by another guy. You were one of six guys out of 120 dudes that never missed a single day from the time COVID started all the way through the 21 season. And I just remember you saying that. I'm like, dude, that's huge for you. Like, that's going to be big. Like, you've made all the workouts. You're showing face. They know you're a guy who hasn't missed any time. Like, that's going to be big. And, you know, it didn't end up meaning as much, but yeah, like the entire specialist room goes down in that 2020 season that wasn't able to have fans, and you're like the number one guy. And yeah, so you actually thought for a minute that you were snapping the first game, didn't you?
Yeah, because it was maybe we had a lesser camp that year.
Right. Yeah. You had like a, it was like a,
It was not even like 2 weeks. It was like two weeks.
Like a 12-day camp or something, because by the time you guys figured out you were going to have a season, that's how much time you had, basically.
Right. And so this, you know, Kevin Warren, I don't remember, he canceled it or something. And a week later, he brings it back. And so I do remember going into the fall 2020 season, a workout. I think I've told you about this workout. But it was the only workout I never completed at Iowa. And it was because of that I had never missed a session in the summer. So we come back day one from when Kevin Warren says, you know, the Big Ten were the first to cancel the season, then everyone else doesn't. Then we come back. And the first day back, I don't know if the strength and conditioning staff was scared we weren't conditioned or something. But I, you know, so they had some worry. And the guys who had not missed were up for five ropes and then five prowler pushes, 15 yards. And we went up a thing. So we were lights or small. I don't even know what they called them. Or they
skill semi.
Yeah, skill semi. Semi did heavyweight and then skill did semi. So we had higher weight and got through the ropes, you know, feeling decent. And I tell you what, man, for that fifth prowler rep, I think I like blacked out. I was like over the trash can while guys were like stretching on the side of the wall. And I was one of like 12 guys to go through this whole thing. The guys who missed any time of camp, they did half the reps.
Oh God.
Half the reps. So,
and it didn't matter for you, cause you would have been in the same conditioning anyway. Cause you're a specialist who, you know, a part of all those workouts that other guys missed, it wasn't giving you any extra conditioning. So you were just like, fuck, this is horrible.
Yeah, and I was asking around because there was a session before us and there were guys puking. You know, we come in, there's guys puking everywhere. And we're like looking like, what's going on? Like, what type of a workout are we doing today? And, you know, later, Grishade even said, he was like, dude, I've never seen that many people puke in a workout.
Yeah, that's, I remember.
And he had been there for five. Yeah, so
I remember you saying that.
Yeah.
So no fans in the stands. You guys lose your first two games and then go on a six-game run. And then Michigan cancels and Missouri cancels. You know, you can never predict things, but Michigan did not have their shit figured out that year. You guys were probably going to run them. And then Missouri, everybody felt like you guys were going to run them too. It was basically an 8-2 season with a bowl win that you guys finished 6-2 with no bowl participation. And, you know, Spiewak went through that whole year. He snapped that year. Buddy was kind of the two, but that was Spiewak's last year. And, and you know, in your mind, as far as your career goes, you're looking ahead at three more years to go and, you know, fight for this spot with Liam Reardon, Buddy, who, you know, you two are going to be the only guys on the roster, and like, yahoo, let's go do it. COVID, because of COVID, everybody now gets this extra year. Spiewak decides, okay, I'm coming back. Like, I want to take another year, which makes total sense. That guy, Spiewak, stuck around for 4 years just to snap for one 8-game season with no fans. It made total sense for him to come back and get to play in front of a crowd and do all that. Unfortunately, it didn't work out that way for him as 2021 came around. But in a way, that gave you a whole nother year to really improve and battle it out to up yourself on the depth chart with Liam. And so you go into 2021, you're still going through, you're fighting in spring ball. You know, I don't know how spring ball went, but
coming out of the spring 21 football, I felt pretty good to be honest. I felt like I had a shot at the two.
Yeah.
I forget to remember when Elkin came in. I want to say it was that spring as well.
I don't think he came in that spring. I think he came in that summer.
Was that summer?
Because when we came and watched you in the spring game of 2021, I watched intently because it was the first time that I got to basically watch you snap for real in the uniform while you were on the team, because you weren't really taking any reps during the season. I mean, you would go out there and warm up in front of an empty stadium. But, you know, when I watched you guys snap on spring day 2021, spring game, I thought you had the best day. That is completely objective, barely. You know, in snapping, there's not a lot of separation, but I thought that it was pretty clear that between short snaps and long snaps on that day, you happened to have the best day. And, you know, if you had anybody take a completely unbiased look at it, you know, they'd have to know something about special teams, but they probably would have said like, yeah, there's not really one guy that separated himself. They're all pretty much the same, basically. And so, you know, I thought you had a pretty good shot at that two spot as well going into that summer. Not that any of it really mattered at that point. It did matter a little bit because the two was always going to end up getting more reps throughout the season as it came around in 21. But Spiewak was going to be the guy. And, you know, now the Luke Elkin kid joins, freshman, a guy who was actually sort of like recruited to come in. He came in, I think, in the special teams camp in the summer. He was a highly rated guy out of the camping system. And that's a guy who they actually went at and sought after and like cared about in the recruiting process, sort of unlike you and some other people. And this is where it gets fuzzy, because when there's guys on the roster who are kind of there and found their way there through some avenue, that's one thing. And then when there's guys that coaches specifically go out and get and ask to come onto the team and kind of have in mind as the next guy, there's always going to be a little bit of bias towards, you know, that guy. And so it was tough now because Spiewak snapping, or at least he's going to snap and be the guy as a senior, super senior in 2021. And now there's three guys behind him and you're one of those three guys. It's just like a loaded stable of long snappers. And good for Iowa, not so great for you, buddy. You and buddy Luke Elkin happened to be a fucking really good long snapper. And so, you know, your chances obviously just went, they got worse of being picked as the guy. You're already the number two. And so as summer goes along, I mean, you can kind of talk about it, but how did that shape up between you three basically?
Yeah. So coming out of spring 21 camp, I felt like I performed better than him, to be honest, in the spring.
I did too.
But we were both very inconsistent.
Yeah.
So it was very, I don't blame him. It was a tough race. It was a tough race.
You didn't do enough to clearly separate.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And he didn't do enough to separate from me, but yeah, long story short, Elkin arrives in the summer and, you know, usually when you are snapping with people, even when I'm kickers, like, punters, kickers, snappers, doesn't matter. You know, you kind of know who's got it, who doesn't. And when you saw Luke Elkin's snaps come off his fingers, it was like, all right, that dude's got
it. He's fucking got it.
He's got it. Yeah, like that dude's got
it. And he does have it, by the way.
100%. Dude's elite. And I loved him when he was there anyway. So yeah, good dude and a great snapper. But yeah, so that was a mindset shift. It was like, at that point, I was a little defeated, you know?
Yeah.
Because I had gotten to this point, I worked my way maybe to finally travel, you know?
Yeah, you had
– in the fall of 21.
Yeah, I mean, to set the table going all the way back to that fall of 17, you have put in all of this work and effort off the field and on the field to finally get a shot, right? And all you want to do, it would be great to just be able to travel on a plane and go somewhere and – have the, you know, run out and be the number two guy and be a part of the game day experience. And you kind of got to do that in 2020, but now you've got four guys on the roster and you and Buddy both, you know, I don't know if you guys ever probably talked about it, probably not, but you guys both kind of, as you head into that 2021 season, it's pretty clear, like, fuck, this freshman Luke Elkin is probably going to be the number two guy. He just jumped us both. And
yep.
What could have been in my career where, you know, with the extra COVID year, it's possible that if Elkin never comes in and you beat out Liam, you would have been able to snap for last year, this year, and next year. You could have been the guy in some other world scenario, but Elkin comes in and then there's a whole other 90 minutes worth of drama that goes on, but in the special teams room at the beginning of 2021, end of camp with Spiewak, who for lack of a better description, he basically gets like the yips, and Wood starts freaking out and his first game is not good. And then in the middle of the Iowa State game, he gets pulled and they send in the freshman Luke Elkin to go save the day. And it's like, holy shit, what's going on? And Elkin and Buddy got to travel that day.
Yeah,
and you were at that point, that's really when the writing was sort of on the wall for you of like, I'm fourth, like I'm the fourth guy, whether it's actually I'm the fourth best snapper out of these four or whatever, you know, special teams politics and recruiting has gone their way and not mine. I'm in the fourth slot and I'm not really a guy who's going to travel. I'm not the guy who's probably, you know, now that Luke, who is younger than you, gets brought in special teams, unless you fuck up, you don't really lose your job. And so at this point, you can kind of talk about it, but it's probably like the beginning of the end.
Yeah. I mean, I remember Coach Woods called me to tell me that I was not going to be invited to camp that year, which would have been, you know, probably early, maybe late July. And at that point I was like, my mind had just left, you know, my mind wasn't there. I was there, but I wasn't there, you know, like I almost had like a, I don't even care, like screw it mindset coming back. You know, I was a lot of factors built into this as well, but yeah, I had to accept what it was. And, you know, I was fourth string. I was not gonna, you know, gain trust in the next 4 months to get the two over Spiewacker, buddy. You know, you start including academics into this. I was graduating, so I would be, if I stayed in, I would be paying another 20 to 30 grand to be four string.
So we have to, so at this point comes in the school factor, because you delayed and sort of prolonged your academic career, and the football started late. You now academically have been doing great at school. You're at school, you're passing classes, you're on your way to your degree. But you started your schooling all the way back at DMAC in the fall of 2018. You've now gone 2018, 19, 19, 20, 2021, and you're in your your seventh semester of college. And in the spring, you have enough credits to graduate.
Yep.
And so while you technically have 3 years of eligibility left in football, you're looking at less than a year and you could literally be done with school and move on with your life. And so the decision becomes pretty clear, actually.
Yeah. And there were, I mean, like I said, there were, even other than academic, I told mom I was just not happy anymore. Like I would wake up and I didn't even want to go to the facility in the fall just because,
well, there wasn't a lot to be
it's
happy.
Hard, I guess. Yeah, it's hard to explain in the moment and what I felt, but yeah, I was just over with it.
I mean,
I knew I was.
You were the fourth. You were going and busting ass and doing workouts and.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting up at 5 a.m. I mean, yeah, it's all fine and dandy on the outside, but you're waking up at 5 a.m. grinding. You know, coming back from game days guys will travel or she suit on Saturday, and then you have. And you know, Sunday is a crazy lift and run day for you as well. And then you're grinding for
trying to make body weight,
putting water bottles down. I mean, it was just not healthy either. Like I was gaining weight. I think I got up to 208. That was like 22 pounds from when I had started 21 or something.
And so there was just no point.
All these factors just led to a very obvious decision.
Yeah. And so much so that, I don't remember. I think it was after week three or week four.
It was Iowa State week.
So it was like week three,
week two or three
is very early in the season where, and I don't know if you texted mom or called mom or had a conversation with her and dad or whatever. And you're just like, I'm done. Like, hey, I stayed. There's really only one path for me here, and this is it. Like I gave it everything I had, and it's just not going to work out in my favor. And it's like time to hang it up. Yeah. Like there's nothing left for me in this pursuit.
Yeah. And I was at peace with the decision. I was ready to be done. And yeah, it was, it ended up being a good one because nothing staying in the program wouldn't have done me anything.
No, it wouldn't have done you anything. And it was,
that coming to the decision wasn't an easy one.
I was gonna say, was there any sadness to it of like, damn, like I wish that.
I mean,
I got to imagine there's some part of you that's like, fuck, man, like I really would have liked for this to work out for me, and I would have loved to have been the guy. Would have loved to have been the guy who snapped the balls on Saturday for the next 3 years, and like. Been a cool starter for the Iowa Hawkeyes and gotten to travel to all these places, go to the bowl games, get all the, you know, and maybe eventually get some, I guess, a master's at that point paid for. Like it would have been cool. Right. There was that other side of that you were giving up, even though all that was basically chalked at that point. But
yeah, I mean, it was more tough of just telling you guys that I was quitting because it was not that I thought I'd let you guys down, but. You know, I know you guys cared a lot about it. And so I was just worried about, you know, I probably would have made the decision earlier and not go into the fall.
That you weren't going to camp.
Yeah. Cause at that point, my decision was almost made up. Just hadn't told anybody.
And this is where, like, for me, it was tough. And we had that conversation in Ankeny, So from my end of this, it was like so cool to see you in the jersey. I think it was really cool for mom and dad as well. And I knew that because my career had gone such a certain way, perfect, basically, like literally ran into zero of the obstacles that you had to go through, that was basically what you had to base, like what you thought your experience might be off of, right? Like, and I knew that that was sort of a trap going in. And I didn't give a shit if you ever played. I don't think mom and dad gave a shit if you ever played. Austin probably didn't care at all. I just like wanted you to have the opportunity to have those opportunities. So in a way I was like, I think I lived a little bit vicariously through you. And I was like, damn, I really want him to be able to do this and like experience all this. And so when you did give it up, it was really hard for me. And I think you came back to Ankeny the weekend after you decided to kind of hang it up. And I came up and saw you and we kind of had the conversation of like, this is the reason why I want to quit. And we just kind of sat, it was just you and me in the house. And I just bawled my eyes out.
Yeah. And I remember that day. And I would have been crying and bawling right there with you. I just had already
I get it.
You know?
And I think that
like I was all done crying and that got over it.
That was like this emotional release for me of like I don't even know, like telling you that like I was proud of you to even get to that point, right? I was so proud that you even got to wear the jersey at all and like go out there, even though it was in the 2020 season. And like, I think I was sad for you that you didn't get to experience all of that. And that was like my emotional release of like, and I was just completely broken. Cause I was sad for, I can't even explain it really. I felt like a fucking asshole. Cause you sat there like, yeah, man, I'm just like cool with it. And I think the emotional connection was different for us because I went through the process normal, whereas you went through the process of like, oh, this is like a lottery ticket. Anything that I get from this is cool. And I'll like, I don't expect anything. Where from my end, I think I created this story of like, oh, it's going to happen for him. Just like it's going to happen for me or happen for me. And like, you know, give it a couple years and Zach's going to be the guy who's running out there punt team, like getting to play in the big house and all this shit. And then it didn't happen. Like it, and you had to manually like voluntarily decide that you're giving that up. And I was just like, fuck, I mean, completely selfish of me, but I was so fucking like broken over it. I was like, fuck. And I never wanted to like, I think I was also feeling a little bit guilty for how well my career panned out. And then your career sort of on the other side of things was like the absolute most broken, patched together 2 years that you could ever have. And so I was like, fuck, man. Cause I felt partially responsible for like pushing you into the decision of like, hey man, maybe we can make this happen.
Yeah, I know. And throughout your career, you know, you convince yourself, Coach Woods would always ask you to rank yourself. Ranked each kicker, each punter, each long snapper. And I always had that, you know, you always have a belief in yourself. Even when I saw Elkin, I was like, yeah, he's probably better than me. I would always put myself before him, like my name before him. Cause you know, you never want to lose, you know, if you're a competitor, you don't want to lose the fact that you think you can be better than, or the fact that you're better than them. And I don't know. It was definitely hard for me to get over, but it was different because I got over it
slowly
throughout a year. You got it slowly, and you know, it built up to finally when I had left. But no, there should be no, it's kind of, there's a beauty in it, you know, like all the chaos.
I mean, it's still a crazy story to like, and I mean, you still got to be a part of that. You got to meet all of those dudes.
It was an incredible experience. I mean, the 2 years, like all the coaches were amazing, teammates amazing. It was I'm glad I was able to experience that.
Yeah. And so you quit, which then the team goes on to fucking go to Indy, and which was a trip that you would have gotten to go on. Now, you probably would have had to sit in the stands, like in the extra tickets with all the other guys who didn't get to dress. So there's a little bit of like, you know, you're not.
I went anyways. I was at the walk on.
Yeah.
Podcast.
You were on the walk on dime there. You went.
Yeah, I was,
and they got their ass kicked, and it was what it was. And then you went into the spring and you fucking graduated, and all of a sudden it's like, all right, I'm done with college. Like, you made this decision and then you're done. And now your life is starting. And it was like, it probably felt like a huge relief and like release for you. Like, I'm out. Like, you were grinding so hard for 4 years.
Yeah.
And then you were done.
It was a ton of emotions, man. Cause like, even when you made the decision, like week five, week six, I'd be like, damn, should I have quit? Like,
right.
But then as I grew farther away, I knew it was the right decision. But going into the, out of athletic life and not being within a sport anymore, just been trying to find challenges, man, like half marathons, marathons, like that, the 20 rep squat challenge. That's what I'm chasing, man. I love that.
Well,
shit.
Yeah. Now you have a void of what everybody runs into when they're done with, we just talked about this with somebody else. I forget where, like, you were a competitor and on a team for 15 years until you decided to quit and hang it up and then graduate. And now you're just like, fuck, what do I do? Do I go do CrossFit? Do I become a bodybuilder? Like, you've been.
Yeah. It's real life, dude. It's like, you got to find your
purpose. Do I run marathons, half marathons? And so now you live down in Kansas City and you work for you're a sports and recreation management major.
Yep.
And you have a job with the NAIA.
Sure.
And you make sure that athletes that are going into that division of college are eligible as they enter college, right?
Yeah, basically vet students in from high school, transfers from different colleges, basically put them and create their academic and athletic timelines and really just determine if they're eligible.
And you have a real job and you live on your own in Kansas City and you're an adult now.
Yeah, it's good. I'm loving life right now, man.
Which is hard for me to believe because probably the whole family because we didn't know there for a while. I mean, you're pretty fucking. You're just a kid.
I'm still a wild.
You're just a kid, like, and you don't know. You've always kind of been like naive, like free spirit, just kind of go do and for us to see, like, especially now that Kinley's here, and I have a kid. And you're 23, going to be 24 this year. It's like, we looked up and it's like, shit, we're all adults now. All right. Like, that's weird.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And we've talked about you getting a betting podcast going and becoming part of the walk-on brand, but you and our other brother, Austin, slack off and can't do shit. Can't record one episode.
No, we got it. It's in the works.
Yeah.
The listeners need to know, man.
A bunch of student athletes just got popped for betting.
Don't do that. That's bad. That's real bad.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on there. And I don't know if they were wagering on their own games or if they were wagering on NFL.
You should have been there.
If I was still there, I'd probably be the culprit. They're like ringleaders.
You've been betting since you were 17 years old.
Like 13. Hey,
You've had your own offshore.
You've been on offshore accounts
since you were in middle school. Fucking unbelievable. That's a whole other topic. So maybe walk on fans, as you listen to this, hopefully at some point we add some more shows to this thing. And one of them, hopefully, is a entirely betting sports betting based show, and Zach and our other brother Austin, who are both heavily involved in the sports gambling scene and know pretty good stuff about it and do pretty decent. They, you know, hopefully we got a show that's like weekly or biweekly and can be part of the Walk On brand. But for now, I've forced them to give me proof of product, and I've yet to see any work yet. So we'll see.
Listen, it's in the works. I feel like we've got a name. It's going to be the Better Bros Podcast. So be on the lookout. Now that I've said this,
yeah,
this is what I'm doing.
Locked in.
I'm making Austin and me get locked in. We're going to get the episodes out. We're Walk Ons will sign us here soon.
Yeah.
We'll be blowing up.
We'll write up a contract for you.
But yeah, I might have to engage into Twitter now if I'm going to be trying to promote a podcast.
I have to. So. Cool. Well, we almost went for 2 hours. I don't know if anybody fucking cared about that. I know that it was, even though you were the guest, I talked a lot because I probably had a better idea of the timeline and the details of how that went on. But I thought that that would be an interesting behind the scenes story that other than our family, literally nobody knows about. And I would say like, it's not uncommon. A lot of guys go through similar things where they fight tooth and nail to get into a program, try and win a spot. They're there for a couple years, they get beat out, and then, you know, their career ends, and like, it just is what it is. It happens all the time.
I think I still do have a record there though. I don't know if it's still up.
I don't know either.
Is it still up? Have you been in the facility?
Last time that someone like on Twitter went through and got a tour, they took a picture of the board and both of our names were still up there. So yeah.
Wow.
So the Kluvers have left their mark on Iowa football, at least to this point. And the record that you have was actually held by me at one point for a couple years. And then I think Shudak broke it momentarily, or somebody did.
Yeah.
And then you,
I know you're trying to get out of here, but
no,
I can explain it quick. So I want to, yeah. So you had a 398.
Yeah. For those who are wondering, if you search the three cone drill, a 5-10-5 pro agility, you basically start on a set. you pick three lines on the football field. You start in the center one. You turn and run 5 yards one way. You touch the line, turn back, run across the starting line all the way 10 yards to the other far line, touch the line, turn back, and run through the middle line again. So 5-10-5. And a good time on that is like in the low fours, probably. An elite time is if you can and I'm talking like elite time for skill guys. Like if you can get under four, it doesn't matter if you're a linebacker or a D-back or a wide receiver, like that's elite. And at Iowa, we were just really, really good at them because Coach Doyle really knew how to teach them. And I don't know what it is about you and me, but we have insane lateral ability. Like if you line me and you up on a 40, we're not going to run very fast compared to other people. But if you line us up on a side-to-side drill where you're cutting and stop and starting, I think we just have like insane quick twitch.
You're going to get smoked.
Yeah, you're going to get – yeah, there's no other – there's probably no other brother duo on earth that could fucking hang with us. I'm not joking when I say that. I mean, you could
– within the pro agility.
In the pro agility mark specifically, I think you'd literally have to go in and find like NFL brother receivers or something that might be able to hang with us. But we're fucking elite. And I had the record for a while, 398. And then you came in and somehow ran like 368
So Shudak, so there's a 7 o'clock session and an 8:30 session. And I'm in the 8:30 session. Shudak's in the 7 o'clock session. Shudak beats your record with a 392.
Yeah.
392. Yeah, yeah. So I walk in and I've been told that Shudak has just beaten their record, and I thought I could beat yours. So,
right.
You know, I'm feeling good that morning. You know, it's just another morning. And you know, what's funny about this is when I got up to do, it was my second turn. So, you know, there's two coaches on one side, timing, two on the other, then they put in the middle. Well, I went my first one and I ran a 3.93.
Mm.
So I was 0.01 away from Shudak.
And you, like, oh, you were pissed because you just broke my record, but somebody else had done it just slightly better.
Yeah, an hour before. And, you know, I got up on that second one, and Coach Morse and Coach Ray were timing, and yeah, man, I just felt good on the rep, and all I heard was like Coach Ray was like, can we look at it? And he goes, 384. And Coach Morse goes, 388. And I was like, and everybody goes, ooh, like, you know, if you hear that type of time, you're going to be like, shit. And I was like, 386, dude. And funny, because the third session was the last session, and Moss ran a 385. Riley got 385.
He ran a hundredth of a second faster you on this. You're a long snapper. He's a DB who just got drafted.
But yeah, I'm actually, I believe it's top four. I think Kevin Casper holds the top. Nick Easley is second. Riley Moss is third. Zach Kluwer is fourth.
And you're fourth in the entire program history.
In Iowa history.
Yeah. And then once you get up into the higher 3.8s and then in the 3.9s to just under four, there's probably another like 20 guys who have done it. Because I know that
like Fant was 3.95.
Yeah, Fant was fast as hell. Me, Josie, Bo, and Kevin all ran sub four in the same spring. Yeah. So like there's a, you know, we were really fucking good at it. But so yeah, that record, I had two records. That one fell. And we'll I don't ever see it being beat. I mean, you're probably going to live forever in that fucking complex unless they decide to take it down because you like didn't make it all the way through or whatever.
So this is the thing. I watched Julius Brents put up a 45-inch vert his freshman year, and he got put up on there. And then when he transferred to Kansas State, he got taken down. So I don't know if they take him down when they're transfers. Because if it's not down by now, you know, you would have thought.
If it's not down by now, then they probably won't take it down. But
yeah.
Yeah. So my name only stands on that board in one spot, which is not an impressive spot. It's not even a great record. And it's in the bench press. I think my max bench was 370, which is a great bench press.
That's where you got to? No. You had, I think it was 365 on the thing.
Oh, shit.
So I think you're 5 pounds, but
it's not a great bench press. Like there could be a long snapper. It is a great bench press relative to a lot of normal people, but for a long snapper who could be athletic, like Elkin or somebody who comes in, like that's very beatable by, especially if they get like a bigger guy, like a 6'3", 6'4" guy who's got a good bench. So I don't think I'll be up there for too much longer. Who knows how long. But yours is probably going to be up there for a long ass time. So you left your mark, you know, you didn't get a ton of opportunities, but you left your mark. And now we just got to send this. Once we get you part of the walk-on brand, we got to send it to the moon and make sure that it's our job forever, so we don't have to fucking work real jobs.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for the almost 2 hours. I'm sure Lauren's going to be really happy about this.
Yeah, I mean, this could go for days, you know. So
yeah, well, maybe we'll have you back on and talk about some other shit at some point.
I appreciate you having me on. This is fun.
Yeah, well, I think you're coming home this weekend, so I'll see you then.
Yep, see you then.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Episode whatever with the broski. Zach, talk to you next time. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons, where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.